B-Pod Studios.
.5 Sports Up. It's Toucher and Rich, Town Fair Tire Studio. Real quick, you just said that Sarge might be coming in.
Sarge will be working the midday shift, I believe, today.
Right. He's got another job to go to after this one, so the theory would be Sarge would come in here and do the final update and maybe do the crossover with us.
Well, I was going to save this as a surprise for him, but I know that you guys are obviously huge into the WWE, and I know that next Friday, a week from tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
You guys have front row tickets? Well, apparently some people from the Garden and the WWE were listening to us talk about that.
Oh, really?
And they are sending in one of their one of the stars of the WWE next Friday morning to help us think of a sign for you guys to put up to get on
yes!
TV. Yes! Are you familiar with Lacey Evans?
Yes. She's
whoa.
Gonna be here.
You just all of a sudden like...
Look at the whole face just changed on Murray.
Yes.
Are you in love with this girl?
I actually am a huge fan of Lacey Evans.
Wow.
She's a real throwback. She's a real lady. Southern Belle. She's a real Southern Belle.
Are you looking at this?
I love you.
Oh, my God. The Twitch audience needs to see this.
I thought you were
turning red. Yeah. This is a bird-like maneuver.
She made her appearance at the Royal Rumble a year ago, and I was like, who is that? And she's not like, you know, there's other, like, girls that, like, stand out. She's just a mature woman.
She's got that. She's got that thing.
I think we might have pushed Joe's buttons a little bit here.
Bird, what did you just say to Dan?
Oh, yeah, she's a slamming slew banger.
This woman is like a very tall woman, too, correct?
She's very tall. Yeah, she's just mature. Is
okay.
All I can
really?
Okay, out of respect for you, obviously, you can come in. Yeah, if you want to come in and even if you want to help interview her, listen, as I said, casual fan of the WWE. All I know is that every time they offer somebody, they're fantastic. They're always great on the air. They know what they're doing. They always offer the right people. They're always great. And a lot of people love these people. I don't know what to ask them. So
she was in the military. I know that. But okay. Yeah, we can help you out with that.
If you would like to come in, but out of respect for you, would you like me to also invite Sarge?
Yes. Ooh.
Okay.
Just have the two of them do the interview.
Yeah, I mean, they have their part.
I can't do that.
Why not?
Listen, because you have to rein them in a little bit.
Well, I'm not saying you can't sit in the room
last time.
Come on. Right. Yeah. Sometimes it gets too inside.
You're right.
And then I'm just like, dude.
You just started playing jokes and
Right. Yeah. When you get too inside, then you're talking to
I'm not saying you can't be in the room. Obviously, you're there to monitor and steer where you need to, but have the two of them take the lead.
Yeah, no. I think Sarge should be here. He's got a great podcast, Wrestling Inside the Ropes, him and Jay Stu, and she'd be a great find.
Somebody said she's a real lady.
Hang on. Okay.
Why, Joe? I didn't realize you cared. Yeah. My goodness.
Okay, I'm sorry that happened to you.
Oh, you know my mother was a very lady.
So Lacey Evans is a real lady. So, all right. So that's going to be happening. And you mentioned Sarge, and maybe I completely forgot about that.
Oh, that's so cool.
All right. So Lacey
Evans. That's a great get.
And she said that, or her people said, she would help us figure out what signs you were going to put up in the front row.
Awesome.
I still think that the peak of it all is if Sarge was holding up a Sarge sucks sign at the front row with a picture of his face on it.
There was money on the line here, correct?
I said we should give him a bounty. I think for every, however many you want to do, I think it should be $100 for every sign you're able to get on TV. And we can put different things on it. I mean, you could, there was some suggestions that people had. But, I mean, if you guys are front row for this big Friday Night Fox wrestling event.
Great if she does this thing before she gets in the ring.
What would that
maybe
be, Joe?
If she saw us, like maybe she's a Southern Belle. Very, she's lady, a lady.
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 She's all right. A lady, lady. You do not want to see the things that I've been
But it's
tweeted.
All classy. It's nothing dirty.
I sure. see.
Of course, she's a lady lady. Yeah. I understand that.
Because that's the WWE to a T. Yeah. Classy.
All right. Let me go to, real quick, Dave. Dave, line one. What's up, Dave?
Rich, I'll give it to you. Poltergeist 1 was horrifying. But once they introduced Kane, the preacher, that guy still haunts my dreams. The old guy.
Oh, yeah, from everybody. Poltergeist 2. Y'all gotta die! That guy was terrifying. And I think, like, the girl, there's, like, a poltergeist curse, I think. If you were a star in that movie...
The little girl died, yep.
She died, I think, like, the older sister died in the movie in a freak accident, and then I think the boy, something happened to him as well. I mean, Craig T. Williams went on to be coach, and Jo Beth Williams was in Teachers, and I don't know what other movie she was in, but, which had a super cool song by 38 Special in it.
Yes,
but I don't, I mean, that movie was absolutely terrifying. Someone said, E.T. Yeah, E.T. legit scared the crap out of me. That scene where they found him in the woods at the beginning of the movie?
Yeah.
Dude, that was terrifying when you were a kid. Especially when you're in a theater and it's, like, super loud and it's in the you know, the volume is insane and it engulfs you and too much, man, too much. All right, so the NFL has come up with a proposal, and according to John, you just saw something that Ben Volen
just tweeted this out, and of course the proposal is to add another game, subtract a preseason game, and add another team in each conference to the playoffs. According to Ben Volen, all 32 NFL owners are going to meet in New York City today for a meeting on this latest proposal, and the owners and the players have a soft deadline of March 18th, which I believe is the first day of the new fiscal year for the NFL, to agree to a new deal.
Okay.
So, this is all going to happen in the next 3-4 weeks.
Almost all of it, because not the 17 games, because they already have basically a schedule set for next season. That's going to be next.
Right. You can't implement that now.
But playoffs, the new format for the playoffs, they can. And it sounds like more than likely it's going to be approved. So here's what they threw out there. They said that what they're going to do is it's going to be, instead of the 6 teams from each conference, it's going to be 7. Only the top-seeded team gets a bye, and then on Saturday and on Sunday, you have 3 wild card games. Now, eventually, what that's going to end up looking like is you're going to have the 17 games, and you're also going to have one less preseason game.
You're reseeding after the first round again, I assume?
You know what? I don't even know if I read that.
I haven't seen it anywhere, but the NFL has done that, historically speaking. I wonder if you still reseed after the first round.
Okay. Everybody but players seem to have a problem with this. Matter of fact, I thought it was going to be people saying, oh, 17 games, how dare you care about... Because here's what they're doing. Here's what the owners have agreed to do, or looks like they're going to agree to do, is 1.5% more. They're going to go from 47% to 48.5% is going to go to the players now, which means $5 billion more dollars is going to go towards player spending. And most of the players seem to be fine with that. Listen, if they were coming out and they were screaming from the hills, you're wrecking our bodies, adding another game is a bad idea.
That mysteriously has disappeared.
Once the money came out, and you know what? I'm not going to step in and tell these guys what's good for them. They're the ones that are going to get knocked around. They're the ones who are going to get their bones broken. If they're cool with it, then as far as the entertainment purpose, why would you have a problem with them taking away a game that doesn't matter in the preseason and adding a game that does matter in the wild card round?
It's starting to grow on me, because I'll have more games to bet on with importance.
That's what matters. And on top of that, when you have only one team that gets a bye, it keeps things ultra competitive near the end of it. Now, we talked about how in the AFC this year, this wouldn't have been the case. It still would have been the Ravens by a decent amount, by a couple of weeks. But you look at what happened in the NFC. I mean, that would have been a ridiculous race to the end to find out who got that bye. So anything that keeps the games more competitive as the season goes on, I'm cool with it. The only thing that's kind of a side effect that makes me go, is that it sounds like it's going to extend the season by at least a week. And I think that it's perfectly fine as is.
Yeah. You're thinking, and I think this has been the NFL's goal all along, is to push the Super Bowl to President's Day weekend. And that seems to be what the fallout of all of this is going to be. And I'm just wondering, and it doesn't seem like anybody cares, but the odds are increasing that you're going to get, now with the 17 game schedule in the future, an 8-9 team making it.
Yeah, and just to continue on, the NFL has tried to make this sport all year long, right? Like, make it
too much.
I don't want that.
Days. So now, if this bleeds into President's Day weekend, you know, that gets in the way of what the XFL is trying to do, so maybe they push it back.
Well, I'm sure the NFL will have care about that.
No, that's what I'm saying. I think they're trying to, like, counteract that move. The other thing, too, is that maybe the draft gets pushed back a little bit now.
Well, they tried that a couple of years ago. They held it in, like, in mid-May a couple of years ago, didn't they?
So, yeah, so I mean, this is now a 365-day, even though, you know, this is the offseason technically, we're going to be talking about football heading into President's Day weekend. You know, baseball, what starts in early February as well. Like, pitchers
right
and catchers
around then.
Are going to be happening when the Super Bowl's
pitchers and catchers are going to report the day of or a couple of days after the Super Bowl is over. But for me, I want to miss it a little bit. I want to miss football
a little too much.
But the one benefit, and a lot of people seem to like this, and, you know, and maybe it will be something that makes it worth it, is that it sounds like Super Bowl Sunday will be the day before President's Day. And then you don't have to go into work the next day. Yeah. And ultimately, isn't that what really like everyone's been kicking and bitching about? Yeah. Is that you want to not have to go to work the day after the Super Bowl.
Just one random thought. Will this affect, if it does happen by March 18th, the contracts of, I don't know, Drew Brees, Tom Brady, if they actually play an extra game?
Right now, next year, it's only going to be the playoffs. So that 17th game isn't going to be until at least the year after, which if Brady gets a two-year contract, sure. 2021, according to the reports. Right. Everything could change.
So not this upcoming season.
No, because it sounds like the schedules are pretty much all set. I mean, they've got the venues all reserved, and to add an extra game, especially because, Tampa next year, is that where the Super Bowl is? That date's probably already locked and booked, and you just can't move things around. You could do it for the year afterwards. But the playoffs, you absolutely. I mean, you're not adding anything extra. You're at least date-wise, you're just jamming in an extra football game on that Saturday and another one on that Sunday. And once again, you're taking away a preseason game, a game I don't want to see, and you're adding a playoff game on both Saturday and Sunday wildcard weekend. Who would have a problem with that?
How would you do that wildcard Saturday? Would it be like a 12? Three,
yeah, it'd be like a 1, a 4:30, and an 8.
Like Thanksgiving Day, pretty much?
Okay, basically.
Awesome. That doesn't suck.
Yeah.
It's a good wild card weekend.
And I don't care if it's a team that is 7-10 or whatever, you know, what the new schedule's
going to
be.
Yeah, it's the NFL. Right?
I don't care. Yeah. Then I'll get to see a beating. Then I'll get to see, or you'll get an amazing upset.
Yeah, or you'll root for exactly. And like I said, this year the Saints lost in the first round. Maybe they'll play a lower team and get an extra chance to make a run. So, yeah. Imagine a 7-10 team knocking off the 2-seed.
Sure. Why not? Tennessee was a 6-seed, right?
That's right.
Yes.
They beat the hell out of the Patriots. There you go. Anything could happen. 617-779-0995 and the Ravens. That's right. All right. We'll get to your calls in just a moment.
95 Sports Hub.
.95 of Sports Hub. It's Toucher and Rich. First of all, the Joe Murray alarm is going off. Joe Murray has actually gotten up and he's left the studio, as a matter of fact.
The problem is, once you get that mass moving in one direction, it's very difficult to get it back moving in the other direction.
That's right.
So he has gone somewhere, and I assume he's coming back, but it's going to take a little time.
And even Joe Murray's sitting there.
Not right now.
No, he is gone.
Here we go.
Here's a great question from Steven. Steven on line 3. What's up, man?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey.
Hello.
Hello. Go ahead, Steven.
Hey, how you doing? I was wondering what you guys thought about how it would change the game statistically, adding a game. So is 2,000 yards in a year rushing that impressive anymore?
That's a great question.
That's still impressive. 1,000 is not.
Well,
2,000 will always be impressive.
But Steven's right. That changes the whole scope and scale of numbers that are measured to get into the Hall of Fame.
I know,
how they're compared. I get that. And listen,
specifically to that question, 2,000 will always be impressive.
Sure, but I have a feeling that there's going to be a, almost when stats are posted now, it's going to be pre 17 games. Like, there's going to be some sort of note as to what era those records came from, because they're going to get shattered. You're going to see you add an extra game, especially ones that matter, where these people aren't going to be sitting out and getting rest. Dude, that changes a lot.
But, there used to be a 12-game schedule when Jim Brown was playing in the 60s. Then it was 14 games when, O.J. Simpson was playing in the 70s. And then it was 16 for long periods of time. I don't see the you know, the cry of, you know, well, he did it. He did it there, and he did it there.
I'm not saying a cry. I'm just saying you're going to see records get crushed.
But imagine a 6,000-yard passer.
I don't think that's going to happen. Dude, I mean, you're only adding one
Peyton
game.
Peyton Manning did 5,500.
I know, but you're only adding one game, not
maybe,
two
maybe
or
a
three.
500-yard game?
Yeah, I mean, 6,000 is not going to happen. Well, you never know what the offense is.
Want to make a side bet on that?
A side bet on when?
Just
for how long?
I'll buy you like a burger. Like we'll go to that joint we were talking about.
Okay, that's fair.
That's side bet right there.
That burger
good.
Joint.
Yeah.
How soon does the 6,000 yards have to happen?
Ooh, 2 years.
So it's a burger for something that might
two
happen
and a half?
In 2
hang on,
years.
Hang on, stop. What is the longest bet that you've got right now? Like one where you think from the moment you make it till how long it takes to pay off?
Well, it's myself and Hardy have a bet every year that's just long running if the Super Bowl goes to the overtime.
Okay, but that's something that can pay off or not pay off within a year. This is something you'd have to wait to. Like, do you have any kind of futures bet on something
there's
that's
a
happen,
bet
like,
from friends from home who will win the next championship, the Bruins or the Celtics?
I have
a bet.
And
that's just ongoing.
Hang on. Let me guess who you bet. You bet the Celtics.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's probably not the right side.
I'd bet the Bruins right now.
Yeah. Yeah, but this was like, you know.
After
2011?
I'd bet the Bruins right now. But it's not crazy that the Celtics would win a championship this year. It's the road's a little tougher. Yeah. The road's a little tougher because I still think that they don't have enough to belly up to Giannis, but I mean, either way, they could surprise me. But the Bruins, the expectations are high, man. You're the points leader right now. You're the front of the race. You're going to win that Vezina more than likely, and you've got the
Hart
President's
Trophy.
Cup, the Hart Trophy.
Hart Trophy,
I mean,
President's
this is a
Cup.
Team that has high expectations. This is not like the Celtics. So, yeah, I would take the Bruins.
I will take that bet, the burger bet with Joe, because I have a much longer standing bet with a buddy of mine. Well, and this happened before the NFL draft 2 years ago. I took Baker Mayfield over Josh Allen as to who is going to be the better quarterback.
Ooh, that's, I mean, who has been the best?
This is before we know Mayfield was going to go first. This is like right at the combine. Mm. My buddy was convinced that Josh Allen's arm strength was going to make him just an awesome quarterback. And I tried to explain to him that his decision-making was horrible.
As of right now, I think Allen has been more successful.
There's no question.
He's gotten Baker's his team better to the playoffs, but that's more defense than him.
Well, I think that if you put this, I still believe this, and you know, Fred thinks he's all around awful. I think if you put Baker with a good coach, then you would have. I think that he could be impressive.
I think if Baker Mayfield will turn out to be a better quarterback than Josh Allen.
Now, who's a bigger douche? Oh, it's by far.
No. I win that bet easily.
If there was a 6,000 yard passer, who would it be?
Mahomes.
I think Jameis Winston will compete.
He'll throw too many interceptions. That'll rob
Dan
him
Dan said
of
in my headphones, and this is a good one, is Drew Brees. I think Drew Brees could still sling it.
He's got a year left, maybe two. You think he's going to get six?
Going for records.
It's one extra game.
Going for records.
He isn't at 5,500 or 5,600. It's one extra game.
Jared Stidham.
Okay. We have a winner.
He's your next guy.
Okay.
Let's go to Matt on line three. Matt, what's up, man?
Hey, Rich. I mean, I don't think the NFL cares at all about President's Day weekend. In fact, if you look at, you know, you have a Super Bowl party, you have 16 people there, four of those people are going to go skiing on a long weekend, on a President's Day weekend with school vacation. I think the NFL would actually lose viewers if they moved it to President's Day weekend. They don't care that you need to take Monday off.
Well, that's a decent point.
On a regular Sunday.
That's a decent point. And don't think that they don't look at every single number and survey at who's on vacation, what time do we air the Super Bowl. Absolutely. I think that that's a really good point, is that they might see that, hey, the world goes on vacation that weekend. Maybe we don't put our biggest game, one that had a drop in ratings this year with the Super Bowl, maybe we don't put it on the Sunday of a holiday weekend. That's a decent point, which I guess helps out my want, and that is that they don't extend the season too much further. If it was 1 week, maybe. 2 weeks seems a little ridiculous. All right, so Jeff Darlington, who works for ESPN, used to work with NFL Network, is that right? He's kind of jumped around?
I think that's right.
All right, so he was doing an interview recently and was talking about what he had heard. He's also an insider, and what he's been hearing about where Tom Brady is going to go. And I thought what he had to say was interesting. And everyone's got an opinion, just like a-holes. Everyone's got one. They all stink. But Jeff Darlington is a guy who knows a little something. And, you know, take it for what it's worth. But here's what he had to say about what he has heard about Tom Brady's destination.
You brought up Ryan Tannehill. Do we consider him in Tennessee?
Oh, sorry, I didn't realize Schefter was going to be part of this. It's Schefter's podcast. Sorry about that, so bear with us.
You brought up Ryan Tannehill. Do we consider him in Tennessee, I don't want to say a foregone conclusion, but a likely match?
I do not. I put the Titans and the Raiders right now as the front runners for Tom Brady's services. That would leave Tannehill as the odd man out. Tennessee has to be considered one of the bright spots when you look at what Tom Brady is looking for in free agents. The team itself and what they possess personnel-wise, whether it is the ability to potentially collaborate with the head coach and have some say in both game planning and personnel.
So if you're the Titans then, and if you don't use your franchise tag on Ryan Tannehill, and you allow him to hit the market, and you strike out on Tom Brady, now you're in a bad situation.
And that is what makes the whole Tom Brady thing all the more intriguing. You know, I'm not saying guys are tampering, but Tom Brady's got to get a vibe on what exists before March 18th. Now, he has between March 16th and 18th, but if we're to assume that the NFL world will be decided in those 2 days, both from the perspective of the Patriots and who they can bring in to satisfy and quench Tom Brady's desire to have better personnel and allow him to actually kind of feel out what exists in free agency. If we're to assume that that's all going to happen between March 16th and 18th, I mean, that is absolutely wild to think of the dominoes that will fall in those 2 days.
Do you think that it's more likely that he'd sign with one of those teams than return to New England? Or where do you put returning to New England in that pecking order, Jeff?
If you're asking me to put odds on this thing, I say Titans and Raiders, and then I say Patriots. Unless they can figure it out in the next 30 days, Tom Brady is gone. And the reason I say that is because we are putting so much weight on the meeting between Tom Brady and Bill Belichick to figure this out. And I don't know that I have that much trust in that conversation when it comes to Tom basically trying to get on the same page with Belichick.
All right, I'm going to stop there because I'm more convinced than ever that he's coming back to the Patriots. I just keep hearing this stuff, and I keep thinking he's not going to go to the Raiders. Like, he's not going to do it. That's a tough division to go to, although we did see that the toughest strength of schedule is the Patriots next year, if you just go by wins and losses.
Get to avoid the NFC West if you go somewhere
else. Sure. And the thing with Tennessee is interesting, but, I mean, it sounds like you heard Derrick Henry in that interview. Like, Derrick Henry's like, why would we not want to re-sign Ryan Tannehill?
Okay.
Which, when you've got, you know, one of the star players on that team who, once again, is a free agent, too, and he's defending Ryan Tannehill, it seems like he's really well-liked there. I don't know, man. And I think that you'd be able to get Tannehill for a lot less than you would Tom Brady.
And by the way, if you don't franchise Tannehill and you let him go and Darlington's like, well, you may lose out on him, I don't think that's the case. I think that Ryan Tannehill is very aware that playing for Tennessee helped him out more than playing somewhere else. If Tennessee comes back and says, we'll give you 4 years and whatever it is, $100 million, he'll take that.
Yeah, I'm just the more and more time goes by, the more I'm thinking he's going to be back. And I also think good news is that it's not going to be the same as last year. I think that the Patriots right now, all of their efforts are on getting somebody that he can throw to, like whether it be Emmanuel Sanders or making some sort of drastic move. I know that name's been thrown out there.
I'd love to have
Matt Dolloff on 98.5sportshub.com wrote this article about why it won't happen. His reasons are very convincing, but listen, I love that name. It's a great name. It's fun to fantasize and think about
that.
I don't care about that. But then there's also, you know, the Odell Beckham Jr. trades and all this crazy stuff that's out there. I think that right now all of their energy is focused on that. Because once they get that down, they can go to Tom Brady and go, let's do it for $23.5 million. And done. Done, and done.
When it comes to the draft, Mel Kiper, we all know Mel Kiper.
Great hair.
He does. He's hinting towards the Patriots liking Jacob Eason from Washington.
Oh,
not the son of Tony Eason. He is the son of a Tony Eason.
Just not the Tony Eason of the Patriots.
All right.
Want him.
Somebody said Henry is defending Tannehill because he doesn't want a quarterback that can throw, so get him the ball more. It's a decent point. Decent point. All right. Joe Murray's headlines right here.
The games are only half of it. Hatcher and Rich. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
I'm excited about this. I'm very excited.
The Stack is sponsored by Window Nation. It's Window Nation's buy two, get two free sale. No down payment, no payments, and 0% financing for 12 full months. Go to windownation.com. I don't know what the hell is going on here. All I know is that there was almost this switcheroo that was done that I wasn't aware of where Sarge is in studio. He's going to be doing the headlines for the next show, which I think is Ted Johnson and Adam Jones. Right?
Yes, Jones and Johnson.
That should
yes.
be interesting. And then all of a sudden I heard this. Do you want me to go? Yeah, you can go. You can go. And I were you about to leave, Joe, and then Sarge was going to do
Sarge
the rest of the show?
He would take the 10 o'clock headline.
Okay.
Get Joe which on his way to work.
I usually stay until 10.
You're underestimating your value to this show.
No, I am a damn great part. I love being a part of this show. And
you're just going to abandon ship like that?
No, I thought you guys wanted to talk to Sarge.
Well, of course we love Sarge. But I mean, it's...
Who doesn't?
But I mean, Sarge. But I mean, you are obviously an essential part of this show. We like having you here.
I'm here. I'm not going anywhere.
All right. Five call says it all. 617-779-0985. Should Joe leave and have Sarge do the last break?
Joe Murray just sitting there.
I will take the whatever the listeners say we will do. But Sarge, you are more than welcome to chime in until I say that it's enough. did you guys okay, so this was kind of awesome. You want to talk about a feel good story. So Ryan Newman, everyone knows what happened with him at Daytona this past week. I mean, the guy got absolutely it's one of the most brutal car accidents that I've seen. You know what's funny? It's not funny. You know what is strange? Is that the car accidents that don't look that bad are the ones where usually these guys get injured the most. I think when Dale Earnhardt died, I don't think anybody expected him to die from that accident.
He just
that
went head on into the wall,
right?
Correct?
It was just, it didn't look like something that you immediately went, well, he's not going to live past this. Ryan Newman's car accident looked like something when you saw it, you were like, oh my God, if he's not dead, there's no way that guy's going to be able to walk again. And you immediately, I mean, your heart just sank. Now, the only reason that I thought maybe a little differently was that I was actually at the Daytona accident back in, I think, 2002 when Ryan Newman had almost the exact same thing happen to him. I mean, he got the car disintegrated. There was almost no car left. And you've seen how that happens before. And within that week, it was one of the first radio interviews I ever did. I drove down to, because the next race was at Atlanta Motor Speedway, drove down there, interviewed him, and he was perfectly fine. I was like, yeah, you know, it's like the best ride at Disney World. I'm like, dude, how are you not scarred for life because of this? Well, there was a picture that came out yesterday of Ryan Newman, who not only is talking, walking, joking around, but walking out of the hospital and released from the hospital with his two kids. Yeah. Dude, that is insane.
That's good for him.
Because you amazing. Also get a little bit scared, too, when the first reports came out that it was non-life-threatening injuries, but he's in serious condition. And you're like, okay, non-life-threatening could still mean that you're paralyzed. Yeah. You know, I mean, that something awful could happen to you. Or, I mean... That just got to be a testament to how unbelievably these cars are put together. I mean, can you imagine going through with that? Because not only, if you didn't see it, not only did he get hit in the car flip, when he landed, he got nailed in the driver's side door. So that was a 1-2, you thought he was gone. But good for him, man. That is the ultimate feel-good
story.
He's
got 9 lives. My only thing for him is like, when do you get back into a car?
I'm just going to say,
why would you get back?
I guarantee you within the next 2 to 3 weeks, he'll be racing. And a listener probably might know. He may have already made a statement that he's going to race again.
NASCAR drivers are just a different breed.
Dude, Ryan Newman raced the next week when I interviewed him after that Daytona accident, which was almost as bad as this.
You know what's even worse? Any car drivers, because they go faster and the car is not nearly as secure.
And I know this is wicked different, but like Dale Jr. had like an accident driving. Flying.
Yeah.
He's scared to fly again, but like
he'll drive.
You'll be in an accident and just drive again? Like how does that happen?
NASCAR, you have that switch that you turn off when you get behind the wheel. Yeah. It's amazing.
They're just a different weird breed of human being, but I just saw that picture yesterday and it's one of those things where I don't care who you are, you went, oh my God, that is awesome. So good for Ryan Newman. So who knows, you know, he can go back to being one of the villains of the NASCAR. So there you go. Good old Ryan Newman. Now, I did see this. You watched the 90210 reboot, right, John?
Yes, I did.
It wasn't even a reboot. It was a horribly ill-advised...
It was an atrocious piece of crap.
Okay, and you love 90210.
I do.
I love 90210.
Why do you guys watch 90210? That was a... That was a show for teenage girls, right?
I've seen every episode of 90210, and I don't care.
Rich, that's how it was really good back in the day. Yeah. Hey, did you see Kelly Taylor last night?
Kelly Taylor was outstanding back in the day. Outstanding, Jenny.
It's like, why did you watch Saved by the Bell? You were like 60 when it came out.
I had not. Saved by the Bell is out of Kelly Kapowski.
Dude, Kelly Kapowski and then Truth Valerie?
You are to be looked down on for not watching this.
Why would I watch Saved by the Bell? It was like 20 when it was
Kelly
on.
Kelly Kapowski was best, but when she became Valerie, she was a bad girl on 90210.
That's right. It's a combination of the two.
She dated Dylan McKay, who's a bad boy.
Well, okay, so they completely effed up the reboot. You know how easy it would have been to make money off of a 90210
Yes,
reunion?
By just going and having the characters be older instead of the actors playing the characters. I don't know what executive at Fox greenlit that, but he or she should be fired.
Printing money.
Yes.
Printing money if you were to do that.
They managed to F it up. It's amazing.
Look at the Fuller House thing. Fuller House is like stupid show, whatever. They just got the cast back to be older, and they made, oh, God, how much did Saget get off that? It was a ridiculous amount of money. I know the Gilmore Girls did a whole thing.
I'm just going to say.
And I think they got $9 million a season.
Yep.
The Gilmore Girls. It wasn't even that. Well, I guess it was a big show, but it wasn't like a massive pop culture phenomenon.
4 seasons out of Fuller House, too.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
And I think success. That I think that the two main stars, the Gilmore Girls, got $9 million
a season.
And
that's the thing. Gilmore Girls is like a niche audience, targeting a specific set of people, and Netflix like, okay, we'll just do this and we'll pay you all the money we have.
So to that point, everyone's trying to look away to make a buck on nostalgia. You've seen that the Friends cast has apparently gotten together. They're going to do a reunion show. I think it's either for HBO Go or Apple Plus. I forget which one. But now the Mighty Ducks. Yes, Disney Plus is going to have a new series called The Mighty Ducks based on the franchise from back in the day. And Emilio Estevez will indeed return, except in this reboot, the Mighty Ducks are the bad guys. They have evolved they used to be a scrappy underdog type of team, and now they're ultra competitive, a powerhouse youth hockey team, and Emilio Estevez has to rally against them.
So is Charlie going to be the coach of the underdog team or something?
Do you bring back, what's the dude who's on SNL?
Knuckle Puck? Keenan his name is?
Keenan Thompson? Yeah. Has he come back? I was never a fan of the Mighty Ducks movies. I knew that they're fine, but
really? First one was good.
That's how I learned hockey.
With the Mighty Ducks?
Second one is a
Fulton
good
Reed
sequel.
With Slapshot.
No. Oh, it's awesome.
No, just the first one. Second, next two are not good. One of the best
sequels ever.
No.
Yes.
No.
D2.
Hang on.
No.
The Mighty Ducks 2.
No.
Good sequel.
Is one of the best sequels
underappreciated. Sequel.
Now, would you like to backtrack that statement that it's one of the best sequels ever?
Sure. Because I put Godfather Disney? 2 up there.
Disney?
Okay. I'd also put Home Alone 2 up there.
Oh, jeez.
You don't like Home Alone 2?
My kids like Home Alone 2.
Home Alone 2 is phenomenal.
I didn't like the Bird Lady.
No. The Bird Lady was just a recycling of the old man from the first one.
Exactly. Yeah.
It was like...
Well put.
Oh, Die Hard 2 is fantastic.
Die Hard 2 is great. But now, is Die Hard 3 better? Yeah, Die Hard with a Vengeance is better than Die Hard 2.
I agree with that also. Sam Jackson.
Yep.
Yeah, that's a better one.
Well, what was D3? One of them went to the Olympics,
the private
right?
school. They went to the private school.
Oh, yeah. See, D2.
The second one, they played Iceland in the championship.
That was good.
I like that.
That was the second
one. What was her name? The Cat in Gold?
Yeah, Julie the Cat. From Bangor, Maine.
Didn't know that.
Yeah. You don't substitute someone.
We just named like 5 sequels that were better than the Mighty Ducks 2.
And that's just off the top of the head. I think if you give us 5 more minutes, we could name about 15
I could name 1,000 right now, but I'm just letting you guys do it. I mean,
Rocky 2?
Rocky 4. Rocky 4 is one of the greatest sports movies of all time.
Pick any Rocky
immediate
movie.
Immediate second, though. But
Rocky
D2,
Balboa is
Mighty Ducks 2
Mighty
was
Ducks 2.
Very underappreciated.
Rocky 5 is better than Mighty Ducks 2.
No, it is not.
Yes, it is.
No, it is not.
Sue me for
absolutely
what?
Is.
Sue me for what?
Yeah.
D2,
Tommy
Olympic
Morrison
guys,
is a better actor than anybody in that movie.
It's David versus Goliath. They tried to make it like a Miracle Part 2. It was fantastic. By the way, 40-year anniversary tomorrow.
Of what?
Miracle on Ice.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
Wow, remember when that happened? Right.
I wasn't concerned.
How about that?
What other dumbass anniversary?
Listen, it was great, but it's like, all right, yay, Miracle on Ice. Get a
You're not from here. What do you know?
Yeah, what is being from here?
That was a nice local story.
That's right. All the BU kids. Plucky.
I was living in Bulgaria at the time.
That's right.
Miracle.
Were you even
much better hockey movie.
Yes.
Miracle.
Miracle's great movie.
Miracle's fantastic.
I showed my kids Miracle, and they were wildly underwhelmed. Like, I thought it was going to be this great moment. Like, I remember when I saw Hoosiers, I was like, whoa! My dad took me to Hoosiers, like, yeah, and I was like, oh, that's a moment. So I sat the kids down to watch Miracle. They're out. Like, no, this sucks. I'm not going to watch that. said they wanted to watch the Mighty Ducks too. They're a bunch of Sarges.
Right. Always dangerous.
I'm getting a bunch of people. Yes, you do not have to prove to Sarge that the Mighty Ducks 2 is not one of the best sequels of all time.
That's already been underappreciated. Discussed.
So it's Homeward Bound 2. Much better sequel.
I never saw it.
Then, do you even know movies?
Yeah. I'm not big on them.
That little German Shepherd, not German Shepherd, the Labrador Retriever was adorable. 617-779-0985. We'll do a crossover.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Let's do something crazy, crazy, crazy. Toucher.
We're going to need Advil for breakfast.
Rich.
First half hour, don't go to the bathroom because you have no idea what the hell's going on.
Toucher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Somebody said, Sarge saying that the Mighty Ducks 2 is one of the greatest sequels of all time might be one of the most Sarge things that's ever been said on the radio. I have to agree with that.
And yeah.
Let's go real quick. Steve, line 4. What's up, Steve?
Hey, all I got to say is Dean Portman from D2 Mighty Ducks absolutely beats Tommy the Machine Gun in any kind of boxing match, anything. What's up, Sarge?
Hey, great call.
Because okay, I made the statement that Rocky V's a better sequel than D2. Now, D2's not awful, but Rocky V, with all of this time that has passed, watch it. It's hysterical and wildly rewatchable because it really is a bad movie. I mean, it's really bad. First of all, he got dumb instantly. Like, he went from being like Rocky was just kind of whatever. And I know that they tried to explain it. It's like, no, he got dumb like right away. And on top of that, the whole part where they're about to fight at the end, he goes, this ain't no pie-eating contest, but sit out, boys. There's so many great one-liners from that movie. And it was just so thrown together. And he knew they did it just for a cash grab. You've got to watch it.
You know it was bad because when they made the sixth one, they made it as if the fifth one never existed.
Yeah, right, right. Like, that did I sue me for what?
I know. And then the sixth one started, and there was no mention of what had happened in the fifth one.
On top of that, look who Rocky had fought up to that point. Carl Weathers. Jacked. Intimidating.
Yeah. Mr. T.
Mr. T. A monster. Unleashed. Thunderlips, even in the thing, you know, Hulk Hogan, huge. How about Dolph Lundgren, the Russian? And then you go to just this lump. Like, Tommy Morrison was just like a lump.
Well, Rocky was 55 at the time.
It didn't matter.
Yeah, like, he things out a little.
Tommy Morrison was a little more than a lump.
Oh, come on. If you're in, okay, if you see all those people lined up,
I mean, he was
who are you the least
fight?
Intimidated by?
Him.
Oh, no question by a million.
You're right.
All the other ones looked like action figures. He looked like a dude.
Yeah.
Like, I don't have any guy who was kind of big. That was the worst choice for a bad guy. Especially who just came from Dolph effing Lundgren, who is the ultimate bad guy.
Dan just whispered Peter McNeely in my ear. That's probably the same thing for Mike Tyson as well.
Yeah. Peter McNeely is Tommy Morrison. There's a good call.
There's no question.
My buddy ran into Peter I shouldn't say this on the air. But yes, ran into Peter McNeely once, challenged him to a fight. And
Didn't go well?
No, I told him he shouldn't, but I guess he was inebriated.
And by the way, there's a bunch of people tweeting and saying, hey, man, Terminator 2 is a better sequel.
That's a good one.
And I'm like, I understand that.
I agree with them.
But you have to understand, like, just how definitive that statement was, is that the Mighty Ducks 2 is one of the greatest sequels of all time.
Yes.
When I believe that even Hot Shots Part 2 could have been better than the Mighty Ducks 2. Like, you don't even have
Gremlins
2.
Academy 2 for you.
Deuce Bigelow 2, European Gigolo might be better than D2. You don't need to throw the Return of the King or the Two Towers at me. I know those are good.
Yeah.
But the fact that Sarge is so locked into the definitive statement that the Mighty Ducks 2.
Great movie. Great. Fantastic movie.
Okay, fine. It's a fine movie. It's a fine movie. It was a cash grab. Ted Johnson, how good was the Mighty Ducks 2 when you saw it?
I didn't see one, so I definitely didn't see
it. Well, you're truly missing out on a classic,
I'm
apparently.
Sure I am. I'll have to check it out later.
Judging by Sarge.
What's up, boys?
What's up? It's good to see you back.
It's good to see you guys, man. I'm still trying to get my bearings from my trip. I went to Disney World. Thank you, by the way, Joe Murray, with your hookup.
You got him.
Dude, did you do a Galaxy's Edge?
No, you know, it was funny. No, was that at Hollywood?
Star Wars. You did the Star Wars land?
We didn't do that. We didn't do that. Mike,
missed opportunity.
It is. I do you remember? Do you know what park he was in?
Yeah, yeah. It's in the Hollywood Studios.
Hollywood Studios. My kids wanted to go. We went to Animal Kingdom, did the Avatar. We went.
I heard
to,
that's awesome.
That is good. I've awesome. Done that. That's
and, we, and we did Magic Kingdom and Space Mountain and all that. So I am like, I'm exhausted from just standing in lines for hours sure. on hours. So, yeah. you know, I'm excited to be back here doing radio. I got a lot to talk about.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing what you have to say about this extra game, about the playoffs.
I got thoughts on that.
Dude, I'm legit excited because I'm going to Galaxy's Edge next. I'm like a nerd when it comes
to this. Total nerd. And I'm not afraid to admit it, Rich. I'm glad you're not either, man. Geek out to it. I can totally relate to you.
A live stream how much of a nerd I end up being on that stupid ride. All right. We will see you guys tomorrow. Thanks for listening. Sarge, Adam Jones, and, of course, Ted Johnson. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.